My name is Brian. I live in Southern California, and I guess I started playing keys when I was 10. I'm actually an identical twin brother. I have an identical twin that also plays music, but he's a teacher. So I grew up in a musical family, arts and stuff. We both started on guitar, so I know how to play guitar, like acoustic guitar, but I always wanted to do something different than my brother, who is identical, so I was like, oh, I don't want to do guitar if you're going to do guitar. So then I switched to keyboards. I never was formally trained, so I just taught myself, basically theory and everything. I taught myself how to read music. I taught myself how to do whatever. I think not being classically trained has helped me with this world, because I'm just like what if I plug this into that? How's that going to sound? Kind of like mentality. But I wish I was formally trained, as a pianist, because now it's like I wish I had that in the back of my mind. I grew up playing music, played in worship bands in like junior high and high school, mainly just like piano. Like there was a grand piano. I grew up in like a small Baptist church. There was a grand piano, and that's when I played. And then I got a job, and I saved up all my money, and I bought a synthesizer. It was like a Alesis Micron. It's like this little red synth, and that's like what I saved up my money for. It was like brand new when it came out, and that's kind of like where I got into like sound design and synths and everything. Just kind of like scrolling through presets. I'm like, what does that sound like? Okay. So moving forward through college, I played in a lot of bands as well, like outside of church. Mainly I played in bands. I didn't really do a lot of churches until college. I didn't even know, I didn't know, the whole, worship world of, keyboards and, this whole, realm of, people who, do this, every weekend, every Wednesday and Friday, because I was, on the opposite spectrum of, doing bands and other things. But one of my friends who plays guitar was like, hey, we need a keyboard player because these songs need, synthesizers or whatever. So I just showed up with, an Alesis Micron and, another little synth, and that's, what I played. And the worship leader was, blown away that I would just come with a synthesizer and play worship music instead of just, sit down at the piano or whatever. I was like, well, this is what I do in band, so I just figured I would do it for this. I didn't know any of the songs. I just kind of, I knew enough theory to know, oh, this is in B. It's a pentatonic, whatever, or whatever, major scale. So it's like I could just kind of with synths, wing it almost in a way. And that's when I started playing more worship music, but I would always do my own thing to it. I would never, I listened to the song, but I would also be well, I don't have to play it like that. I could play it how I want to play it, or I could add a line that isn't in the record or whatever. So started doing worship music a lot more, met a lot of people through that world of people. I started doing the whole Orange County, Inland Empire, LA, circuit of churches from Saddleback to Mariners to Crossroads and all the Calvary Chapels. And so I started doing a lot of that. And that's when I kind of built this setup. This is not the setup I bring on the road for One Republic. This is stuff that I have at the house that's available. But this is pretty much all and everything and more than what you would need to do worship music. So I started playing churches, and through that I met a ton of people. I started recording for artists and other bands. I was still doing bands at the time. Started recording for artists and other bands. I was in college, had a job, played in bands, and played at churches. So I was going from 6 a.m. to 2 a.m. every day, doing homework, doing bands, rehearsal, doing worship, doing everything. So I just, like, as I progressed as, like, a music, I feel like the worship industry, or, like, industry, the worship, like, scene of people, and, like, the way, like, because it could get pretty, like, pro. Like, it could get, it could be, like, a small church with a piano. It could be a huge church with huge production. But playing at these, like, bigger churches, like, stepped up my, like, knowledge and, like learning, like, instead of just learning band songs, like, I'm having to learn new songs every week on Wednesday, on Friday, on Saturday, on Sunday. So, like, learning how to, like, do different, like, and every song's different. Most of them, most worship is, like, major scales and, like, pretty easy structure. But, I mean, it's the same formation as pop music or anything you hear on the radio. So, I lost my train of thought. That's what I was getting to. So, yeah, so doing all that stuff, recording with a bunch of people. I met the bass player, Brent, who is the bass player for One Republic, was recording a bunch of stuff with him. I was doing a side project with him as well. And we were, like, recording a bunch of stuff. And I was actually recording on the previous album, Native, for the band. I was recording a bunch of synths for it. And Brent was like, we don't have a keyboard player. Do you want to play? And I was like, sure. And that's basically how it happened. There was no, like, formal tryout or anything. So, but I wouldn't have had those connections without, like, meeting people and talking to people, like, in the church industry. And it's crazy that, like, Brent, the bass player, knows, like, that whole, he went to Vanguard, grew up in Orange County, he knows, like, a bunch of worship people, and, like, a bunch of people even here, like Drew and stuff. We've played shows with Switchfoot before a long time ago. So when I started playing with them, stepped up my game even more, and that's kind of, like, where I'm at now. I've been touring with them and playing with them, recording with them for 5 years now, and still going. It's a lot. But I still, I love to do this when I am in town, with the rarity that it is. Because I this is, like, how I started, like, playing keys, pretty much, like, doing worship and, like, really learning. So I still love to do it when I am in town, and it's fun. So that's the kind of about me, I guess. So let's get into some keyboard basics, I guess. Let me see my... Sorry, I'm not on my phone. I'm just looking at my outline. I'm just making some memes. So obviously this looks really intimidating, probably. Maybe I look intimidating. I'm not. I'm just really shy. So I'm just really quiet. But if you guys have any questions at all, like, just raise your hand. Come find me. Come ask me questions throughout the weekend. I'm really not intimidating. I'm a really nice person. I'm just very shy. I'm just not used to talking to people. So you guys, like, so you guys all play keys pretty much and other instruments. Do you guys, like, what is your, like, level of, like, knowledge? You guys just play piano, or do you play, like mainstay, like, synths and piano? Do you play, like, pads? Like, I never know, because I know that there's, like, people that do, like, just piano, and then there's people that do a ton of stuff, and then there's, like, that middle ground of, like, I do some stuff, and I do, you know. So, like, I just kind of want to base your knowledge, because I don't want to go, like, too fast or too slow, depending on, like, where you guys are at. So
how many people
yeah.
only play piano?
Yeah, I guess that's... Thanks. Okay. How many of you guys, like, play... I have, like, messed around with, like, synths and, like, sounds and pads and stuff. Okay, so it's, like, half and half. So when you look at a worship song... So, like, this is how I approach a worship song. When somebody sends me, like, a planning center, if you guys are familiar with planning center, that's kind of what you guys use. Somebody sends me a planning center, has a list of songs. I'll go in, I'll listen to the song, Actually, like, I knew none of these songs. Like, I haven't done this in a really, like, I haven't done worship in a couple, like, probably a year or so. It's been a really long time. And everything's changed so much. So I'll listen to the song, and I'll be like, okay, what is, like, the most important part of the song? If it's piano-driven, obviously the piano needs to be played. If there is, like, so I'll break it down into, like, level of importance. Like, oh, there's that, like, synth line, or there's, like, a guitar line that's, like, kind of, it might be a synth, but the guitar player is probably going to, like, handle that, if there's a guitar player. Or, like, so you gotta like, be able to know, like, what's the most important thing to play. So piano, a lot of things are piano-driven now. It was, like, very synth-driven maybe, like, 4 or 5 years ago. Things have, like, progressed to more piano and synth. So I'll usually always lock down that piano part if it's in the song. But every song has a pad or, like, some sort of drone or atmosphere, a piano, whether that's piano, organ, Rhodes, there's some sort of, like, acoustic piano element, and then there's some sort of, like, synth, whether it's a bass synth, whether it's a lead synth, whether it's, like, a arpeggio or whatever. That's worship, like, for keys in a whole. It's a piano or some sort of, like, acoustic piano thing, a pad, and a synth. So if you hear all those, and if you could play all those, that's awesome. If you can't, listen to the song and figure out what the most important thing is. What I found really helpful is when I started doing main stage. I do main stage for keys with one. I'll go over what I do with One Republic, like, at the end, because it's really complicated. But for this kind of stuff, I use main stage. Are you guys, anybody of you familiar with main stage or, like, that kind of realm? Okay, so main stage, for those of you who don't know, is like a platform for playing software synths. So. Are you guys familiar with software synths? Or, like, software that makes music? Okay. So main stage is kind of a platform where you can build patches with synth sounds. Or piano sounds, or whatever. So the way I approach a song is usually I'll find the key of the song. Let's say it's in C. I'll be like, okay. So I'll, like, make a pad. You guys know what a pad is, right? Like a drone or whatever. If you guys don't know, like, this is a pad. So this is, like, the basic thing you could make. There's stock pads in Logic that sound awesome, that sound just like this. I think what I have pulled up is a stock Logic pad right now, just to, like, give you the basic of, like, I mean, you could find this in Logic, in main stage. So what I do is I'll have a pad, but then, so, sorry, back up. What?
Let's choose a song, and then let's,
so I'm gonna go over basics first. Sorry, back up. So let's go over, I'll do, like, pads, because everything has pads, keys, and synth. So I'll go over every single, like, thing. So the first is a pad. Most songs have a pad. So you could just play, like, a simple pad like this. But what I've learned over the years is, like, every pad isn't just one sound. Especially in, like, pop or anything, everything is so layered when you record that it's usually, like, multiple sounds on top of each other. So with main stage, which is awesome, you could have stacks of synths on top of each other and make, like, one sound. So, like, I'll have, like, a main pad underneath. I'll add, like, an atmosphere, like, so this is, like, oh, I'm sorry. So, sorry, pad. I'll add an atmosphere under it. That's like a very airy kind of modulating thing. I'll get into, like, sound design later, like, obviously how to, like, make something like this. But so, for pads, how to, like, step up a pad game, I guess that even makes sense. I've learned to, like, layer my pads. So I'll have, like, an atmosphere. I'll have, like, a main pad. That already sounds, like, a lot more interesting. And then on top of that, I usually add some sort of like guitar sounding thing. I know it sounds kind of weird, but when you add, so this is taking care of a lot of the mid-range and low-range frequencies, but there's nothing really in the top end. So what I usually do is I add like if you could hear that, it's a bowed guitar actually, and I just like increase the attack on it. So when you add all these together, so. Hear the bowed guitar kind of like it gives a little more definition, because pads can get like really muddy depending on like the system you're in. Adding like a top range kind of frequency, like you could hear what you're doing more with the pad instead of like you could, but adding that, you could hear like the individual notes more. So that's a pad. Also, another thing about pads is, so most people like will play a pad, and then this is where it stays the whole time, kind of like in this range, even for choruses, for like bridges. What I do is, are you guys familiar with a filter? So a filter, like the sound starts like a low pass filter, like an EQ or whatever, it starts out like this, and as you open the filter, it opens up to like something way more massive. So what I've learned is like for like verses and stuff, keep it down or whatever. And then usually for choruses, just roll the cutoff up. That way it cuts more in the choruses. The pad is still there, but the low range is kind of taken out, and like it's very mid to high range, so you can really hear. What you're doing. So that's pads. So pianos, when I started first playing like keyboards, one of the first things I started doing was putting guitar pedals on piano, like on pianos. I did this like, I'm old now, I feel like, 15, like, how old am I? Like 13 years ago, when I started doing worship stuff, my approach wasn't classically trained, so I was like, oh, like, this is like, like, that's a road sound. I mean, that's cool. But I was like, well, what happens when I, like, put delay on it or whatever? So I added a delay pedal. That's, like, one of the first pedals I added. And it adds a lot. And then I was like, oh, reverb. I, like, discovered reverb and delay and, like, distortion and all that. Obviously, not every song has like delay on a Rhodes or like whatever, but it always helps to have some sort of verb on your piano, on your Rhodes, or whatever part you're playing. Even on an organ, I'll always put like a little bit of verb. So let me start with just like a basic piano patch. So this is like the piano I would use for worship. It's actually, I don't use the pianos on the Nord. I use software for the pianos. I'll talk about like gear after all of this and like and what that is. But so like a piano patch that I would use would be this. So it's not just a piano. I mean, it is just a piano. But I added verb to it, and one of the things that I've learned, or that I, not that I've learned, that I've like done for myself, is I always add, which I would encourage all of you to do, if you're like doing like pads and stuff, I always add a reverse delay. I know this sounds weird, to my pianos, and a little bit of verb, because it gives it a little bit more sustain. You could kind of hear it. You can hear the reverse reverb, but it's not like super present. It kind of keeps like it going, because a lot of these songs are very like, the chords are very like quarter note, like. So it just adds like a more interesting effect than if it were just like. Here, let me take the verb off, and then I'll. So, that's just the regular. So that's the regular piano. Then add some verb and that delay, and a little bit of compression actually. You don't even need a pad because, so that kind of like creates its own like loop of like drone. So if you're not playing pads and you're just playing piano, adding like a little bit delay or a reverse delay can help like it sound a little bit more interesting, and it can also like not sound as empty sometimes, I guess. So like that's what I usually do for pianos. For Rhodes, it just depends on the song. And then for leads, sometimes I actually just use a Rhodes sound and affect it. So I'll have like a basic Rhodes sound. I'm sorry, I'll turn the piano off. So basic Rhodes sound. I'll put some delay on it. Put some verb. And then sometimes I'll do like modulation, just to give it a little bit of like chorus, I guess. Kind of widen it a little bit. And like, what's the song, Fierce? You guys know that song? We played it last night. So that line at the beginning, when I listened to it, I was like, oh, that's cool. I could probably do that with a Rhodes. So I was like, well, how can I do that? Add some delay, add some effect, modulation and some stuff. And then, so like the beginning of that song. Sorry, I'm clipping. Doesn't supposed to be. So that's it. And then the guitar comes in and takes care of like the rest of that kind of like sound. I think like the most basic thing when you are playing keys is to listen to what everybody else is doing. I've played with bands, I've played with worship bands where nobody listens to anybody, where like everybody just has whatever they're playing. It's usually guitar players. No, it is. Usually keyboard players do listen, or like have like some sort of like instinct to like, especially if you're like formally trained or you know theory enough to be like, I don't want to be dissonant. I don't want to like play a three when he's playing a two or whatever. Usually like guitar players, I found sometimes in worship music, don't listen to anybody. They're like in their own world, like, oh, so cool, like all this stuff I'm doing. And it doesn't really work with what you would want to do or even how the song goes because they're just doing their own thing. So like one of the basic things that I learned is to listen to everybody and be adaptable. Like being a chameleon is one of the most important parts of being especially a worship keyboard player. Being a chameleon, kind of being adaptable, because you have worship leaders that'll go to a chorus early, that will skip a bridge, that'll go somewhere you weren't expecting them to go. And as the keyboard player, they expect you to hold down whatever they're doing, like, you need to have a pad droning here. You need to have, like, the piano going. You need to be following. So I would encourage, like, to always be listening, especially to the worship leader who's singing where they're at, and especially everybody that's in your register of sound, which would be a guitar player. So if you're listening to both of them, you'll have, like, a better understanding of, like, where you fit in the piece, you know? Because I also know, like, piano players who play worship music that just, like, play. They're just players. And they'll just, every song is like a, like Beethoven or something. Like, that's how they approach it. Sorry. I would encourage you not to play like that. Some songs are great when it's just a piano song, but when you have four other people on stage with you playing instruments, when you're covering every single note on the keyboard, a lot of times it won't sound good in the big picture. That's the other thing, is like being big picture minded, because most people aren't musicians that, like, go to churches. Most people are there to worship, or like they don't have like a musical background. So they're not like looking and being like, oh, that's a really cool patch he's playing, or that's a really cool guitar part. They're just thinking in the bigger picture, oh, that kind of sounded weird, or oh, that sounds cool. Like they're not like picking apart like how we would, like, as musicians, pick apart like sounds or songs. So really, like, understanding, like, and like fitting everybody in together is like really important. Also, a good friend of mine told me a long time ago, when, like, playing synths and playing keys, he was like, play like a sloth. I know it sounds kind of weird, but sloths only have, I think, 3 fingers on each hand, I want to say. And that was kind of like the analogy he was given. Basically, less is more when it comes to worship music, especially. You don't want to play too much. You want to play enough, obviously, but you also want to leave room for everybody else that's playing. Everybody else on stage is playing. So yeah, playing like a sloth is sounds kind of weird, but that's kind of like my mentality of playing. You have to be tasteful with how you're playing and what you're playing. When a worship leader's singing a melody line, you don't want to be playing a melody line while he's singing a melody line, because unless you're playing exactly what he's singing, it might not work. So, like, when he's singing, you might just be playing whole notes. You might just be, like, droning. You might be, like, doing, like, a guitar swell. Or whatever. You know. So, less is definitely more when it comes to that aspect. Sorry. I'm really nervous. Oh, yeah. Do you guys have any questions? I guess I can, like, stop for some questions. Just about that stuff. I'm going to go over gear and everything, like, right now. But do you have any questions about anything?
Do you usually, like, if you're in the key of C, do you usually play, like, a C and just have that play throughout the entire song? Or do you just...
Yeah. So, yeah, I guess back to pads. What I learned is, since there... So every song obviously has pads, keys, and, like, some sort of synth. It might have all three, it might have one, it might have two. But almost every song has a pad or some sort of drone, especially in worship music. So what I've learned is, like, since every song has that, I'm going to just put that in every song, because it like creates an atmosphere, especially because the worship leader is always going to be like, can you, like, I just don't want dead space. Like, so many worship leaders are so scared of, like, the quiet, like, just dead space. So, like, always have, like, something going. So what I've done, I know everybody has, like, a different method or way of, like, droning a pad. But for me, I actually just reverse the polarity of the sustain pedal that's on the pad. So right now it's sustained, so it'll just go. So I don't even have to touch that. And it's already in C. And I could, like, stand back, and he could be playing guitar, and singing like the first verse, and literally this is all I might be doing. Sometimes like I'll add not that note. So, like kind of like an atmosphere thing, but I'll always have a pad droning, usually in the basic key of the song. So the song's in C, pad in C, 1, 5, one, I guess. Yeah. So just 1 and 5. I don't add a 3. You don't want to add 3s. You don't want to add like anything. So like if it's in C, you play a C, a G, and then a high C. And that's kind of like, that takes care of it for the most part. So yeah, so like that song, Fear, I'll just go back to that song, Fierce. I'll have a pad droning in D. So that's already there. So then that line comes in. I'm playing the line now on here while the pad is still going. I don't have to control it. I don't have to mess with it. The level's already set. And then as the chorus hits, open up the filter of the pad. Chorus is there. Pad is still droning. I could play the line, octaves. And then back to the verse. Take the pad back down. And I mean, that kind of like, that's kind of like how I approach that kind of, that stuff. So yeah. So I always have a pad droning, usually. I know everybody has like different ways of doing it. Some people use Ableton, some people don't. This is how I've done it for a really long time. So I'm just used to that way. So when I don't, when I'm actually playing the pad, for like courses, sometimes I'll actually be playing the changes because it needs the changes and there's no like keyboard line. It's just like a huge moment. I'll play the changes and I just have to have my foot on the sustain pedal. And then the second the verse hits, I put it back to that and let it drone, take my foot off the sustain pedal, and it drones for the verse again. So yeah, that answers that question. Do you have a question?
Yeah, how would musically just like leading worship differ from what you do with your band? And just are you able to implement any elements of like pop element into worship or?
Yeah. It actually, what's funny is, it doesn't differ a lot. Pop music, a lot like worship music, is very simple. It's very palatable because it's universal. Pop music is the same chord structure, chord progressions as worship music because it's for a wide range of audience. It's not jazz, it's not experimental where it's like very niche. So yeah, pop music and this is very similar, so you can take a lot of aspects from, like, I took a lot of what I did with worship, a lot of how I approach worship is a lot of the reasons why I did a lot more and like got into the pop world, and I implemented that with One Republic because there's songs with One Republic where there's like stuff droning or stuff like an arpeggio going. I have that like latched or I have that going. I'm playing three things at once. But yeah, I don't do the sustain pedal thing for One Republic though. It's a completely different system, but it's basically the same idea of like a lot of times, like there's dead space in our concerts and I usually have to fill it up with something. So it'll be a pad. It's usually a pad or like some sort of like, drone or something or some sort of like piano line. So you can, So I've taken a lot from worship music to the pop world, but taking the pop world back to this world, I've learned that since everything is so similar, you could kind of make worship music your own in a way, depending on if some churches run tracks, some churches don't. Tracks weren't around when I was playing at churches. That's why like I've gotten so used to like, this setup came from the fact that there was no tracks. I mean, I was playing like at big churches that weren't using tracks, so I would have to do pads and keys and a synth line because there was nothing else. I mean, if I didn't do it, it wasn't going to be in the song. So But nowadays, people have tracks, people got used to that, and you could just play piano, and all the synths and all the pads are already taken care of by a computer. So, what was I saying? So, like, make it your own. So if there's no, like, tracks, how many of you guys just play churches that run tracks? Or sometimes? Okay. Even if there are tracks, like, if it's just a piano, if there's only piano in the song, like, you don't have to just play piano. You can play a pad, too. You could add that element and make it your own. Or if there's just a pad and you want to add, like, some, like, cool, like, synth or whatever, you can add that, as long as it, like, works with what you're playing, which, if you know music theory enough, do you guys, like, all are familiar with, like, theory and music and, like, how, like, chord progressions work and stuff, right? Do you guys all do, like, the number system, like, 1, 5, 4? Yeah, that's, like, a natural thing. So as long as you know, like, where the chord progression is going, you can, you know... I like I'll just keep going back to Fierce because that's like what we're talking about. So that line is there, but so like for the second verse, it goes back down. There's a guitar playing. There's not like really anything piano-wise going on. So to like drive it a little, since we're not using tracks, to drive it a little more, I'll like add like an arpeggio or something to like keep it moving. So like. So I'll add something like that as an element, and that works over. I mean, basically any progression. I mean, if you start on 6, like just. I mean, that's just like a chromatic walk up from 1 to 5 without the 4, so like 1, 2, 3, 5. I'll usually add that to song, like, so that's like how I would make it my own, like Fierce or whatever. I'd listen to that, be like, cool, like there's that lead line, there's like some pads, there's like a piano thing, but I want to do more than that because I like to do as much as possible, or I like to just like not be bored. Sometimes like keyboard playing can be really boring if you're just playing a pad the whole time. So it's like, well, if I'm just playing a pad, like, what else can I do to make it interesting? You can do whatever, you can really do whatever you want in the realm of, like, working with the song, but I never, like, stuck to the boundaries of what the song sounded like. I always kind of made it my own. Even, what's that song? It's, like, a really, what's that? It's a Brooke Fraser song. It used to be played. It's the. Hosanna. That's what it is. Do you guys know that song? So, like, that's like a. So, like, that's how I made it my own. I was like, oh, this is a cool song. I was like, this is like a really long time ago. But, like, adding, like, that element, like, you don't have to, like, leave it to a guitar. You don't have to, like, leave it. You could, like, do that, too. Like, just doing stuff like that. Like, you don't have to, like, do the boundaries of, like, well, there isn't something there, so I'm not going to play anything. Especially if you're not, like, using tracks, it could sound really empty sometimes if there's, like, an acoustic guitar, a keyboard player, a drummer, and a bass, or whatever. So, that's how, like, I would implement, like, what I do with One Republic. Well, there's so much to cover with that band that I usually just play what's on the album because it's enough as it is. But there's certain songs, older songs, that I kind of just... There wasn't really, like, any sort of, like, keyboard part. I mean, there was, like, a pad, but I made it my own. I added, like, some synth line. I added some other stuff, and it worked. And so that's kind of like how I would implement both sides. But they're very similar. They both use the same chord progressions, and they're both very palatable and very easy to understand. So, any other questions?
Sorry, I did have one more.
No, yeah, totally.
I know with the current setup you have with the Nord, you're able to model the sound after like how you like, and there's a lot of modability. Mm-hmm. As you say. What about with more simpler setups, like some sort of like M Audio synth running through Ableton with like a Yamaha keyboard underneath that you can't, you know, mod the sound as you would on the Nord?
Okay, yeah. So let's like say you just have a MIDI controller and a computer. So a lot of people just do that. But you could still do, I mean, so like Ableton or MainStage or anything, you can layer sounds like I showed you earlier. You could still do a lot of that and modeling like in Ableton or in MainStage, you can add delays, you can add reverbs. A lot of it, like if you have MainStage or you have Ableton, it comes with stock reverbs and stock that already come with the software. You don't have to buy anything. A lot of the delays and stuff that I use have been bought. But yeah, you can, I mean, modeling, like even I showed you that piano patch, like it was a basic piano patch, but I added some verb and compression and a reverse delay and kind of like modded it to how I wanted it to be. As far as like a, like let's say you have like your church has maybe not a piano, but like a Yamaha, like S90 or like what's like another, like a Motif, or like a typical like keyboard that's at a church. It's like one of those. A lot of times those do have like effects. I know that's a lot of screen diving, and if it's not your personal keyboard, you don't have like enough time to like figure that out. I would encourage like buying. I know it's like you could buy stuff for cheap. Buying like a delay pedal or buying a reverb pedal, and sometimes that's enough. Honestly, yeah. For like pianos and modeling, what I'm basically doing is reverb, delay, and modulation. So like a modulation pedal. So like a chorus pedal or like a flanger or whatever. And that's basically how I model the sound. And I edit those pedals enough to get the sound that I want with just a Rhodes. Because like those keyboards will have like a Rhodes patch. They'll have an organ. They'll have a piano. So if you have like the basic patches and you have a couple pedals, you can really model that to do what you want. And also, I use a volume pedal, like a guitar player would, to like swell or whatever. Clipping, I'm sorry. It's not supposed to sound distorted. So the delay is taking care of that. So if I turn the delay off, but when you add delay and reverb, it's like, so basically I approach keyboards like a guitar player would. Like I have a guitar, but how do I make it sound? Like how do I model it to sound like that? They add reverb, they add delay, they'll add distortion, they'll use different amps. But since we're running direct, reverb, delay, amps, so I mean you could really, you don't need that much. I think like this looks like a lot, it's actually really not. It's just a lot of different effects. So yeah, sorry. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, it does.
Cool. So
pedal board or something and just add it to the piano.
Yeah. Yeah. Just like get up. You don't even need a pedal board if you just buy a delay pedal. So we could talk about gear for a second. Wow, this is going by really fast. So gear wise, this kind of like goes into that whole thing for me. So for worship, I have a Nord, obviously this, which is a basic, it has piano. It's a basically an acoustic piano instrument. So there's Rhodes, there's organs, there's piano, there's like a Wurlitzer or like something like that. So it's all acoustic pianos. There's no, like, it's not a synth engine. But with pedals, you can make it sound like a synth if you want it to. So I always run my Nord through a pedal board, obviously. So the pedals that I always go to are modulation. So there's an electric harmonics modulation pedal on here. It's called the Worm. It's like an old pedal. I'll go into like what I use for One Republic because that gear is way more interesting. This is like stuff I have around the house. But actually, this stuff is all like very. It's not expensive and it's fairly like cheap. I always modulation. Add some chorus. So. Just adds a little bit of vibrato, a little bit of chorus, and then I always have a verb, so verb off. That's no verb. That's what you're gonna get if you just like have a Rhodes without verb, without anything. So adding verb, always adds a little bit of more of a, like a interesting element, and then I always have delays. Some sort of modulation. I use a Memory Man on this board, which has a ton of different delays. It has like a dotted eighth delay, I guess. You know, like the dotted eighth thing that guitar. So. That's just a Rhodes with a dotted eighth delay on it. It's super. It sounds like there's a lot going on, but it's actually really simple. It's just you're playing one and three with a dotted eighth delay and like whole notes for pads, and that's it. It's not like. It sounds more interesting than it is, which is like the whole illusion of being a keyboard player. Is it's actually the simpler you play.